Please pray with me. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the listening ears of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I've been thinking about prayer a lot lately, and I've been driven to pray a lot lately, and I'm pretty sure I am not alone. We look at the world around us so in need of peace and grace and healing, and we look at our family and friends in needs of prayer, of healing, of help. At least I hope and pray that's what we're doing, that we are still trusting in the presence of God, the aliveness of God, that we are still trusting God has not abandoned us to our violence and our hate and our fear, that God will not abandon us. Whatever else we see and feel, we need to know that God is in our lives, in our world. And so this passage this morning, this question the disciples bring to Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. It resonates. Lord, teach us to pray. Help us to remember again that prayer is one of the ways we live out our relationship with you. We pray because we believe, we trust that we can open our hearts before God, our fears, our joys, the needs of our lives, the desires of our lives all find their way into our prayers. We are made, we are created for a relationship with God, and we need to live out that relationship. Jesus teaches us to pray with the Lord's Prayer, simple and deeply meaningful at the same time. The prayer invites us to put God and our relationship with God and God's desire for us and for the world at the center of our lives. God's will be done. To live day by day with a deep trust, with a belief in the power of forgiveness, with eyes open to those things that try to pull us away from God, to pray for God's kingdom to truly come on earth. Jesus teaches us to pray with stories that help us see that God wants our prayers, that God's desire is for us to reach out in prayer. Because we trust that God's desire for us is good. I once knew a man who lived his life very simply in a small room with a hot plate to cook his meals because there wasn't enough power for a microwave. He had a factory job. He had his sobriety and he had his faith. He didn't have his family because he lost them before he found his sobriety. But the joy of this man's life was his time of prayer. That was where he found the relationship that filled him up. He used to say to me, when I close my eyes and pray, I see Jesus right there, right there. I talk to him, and I know he's right in front of my face, and I know I can tell him everything, how angry I am, how sorry I am, how sad I am, how glad I am, for he is right there, right beside me, right with me. Then he said, I open my eyes and I get up and do something. Like I go over to the church and find a light bulb that needs changing, or I shovel the snow, or I open the doors, which he would do first thing on Sunday mornings, and I just wait and see if somebody might come in looking like they need me to say, Jesus loves you. And you know, there's always at least one person that looks like they need me to say, Jesus loves you. Right in front of us, right beside us, Jesus invites us into relationship where we are not alone in whatever we face. We are yoked. We are linked to Jesus. What's more, he invites us to ask again and again for what we need, telling us persistence in prayer is a good thing, a desire of God for God's people. Kathleen Norris said something about prayer that challenges me. She said, prayer is not asking for what you think you want, but asking to be changed in ways you can't imagine. What does that mean? I mean, it seems to me prayer is asking for what you think you want. Ask and seek and knock, hoping that the door will be opened in the way we want it to be opened. But is it possible that God's desire for us to persevere in prayer has to do with how prayer itself changes us? Open our eyes in ways we never anticipated, opens our hearts in ways we never counted on. Is it possible that when we pray for what we think we want over and over, we eventually see how God might be changing us in ways we can't imagine? Wanting us to be involved in being an answer to our prayers. Or maybe we eventually understand that God's answer might take a change in us in order for us to hear it. I love Philip Yancey's story about how he was praying one day for his neighbor, who was this very busy single parent. And he noticed her struggling with a lawnmower that wasn't working. And so he had gone into his house and he started praying for her and then praying in a larger way. Lord, please help all those whose burden is too heavy. Please help all those who need help in the world. And all of a sudden he thought, I have a lawnmower. He could be an answer to his own prayer, at least for that one. At least some of the time, the change that happens in us has the potential to help us be answers to our own prayers. Or as Augustine says, a person prays that they might be constructed. Even people we think of as great men and women of faith, like Henry Nouwen and Mother Teresa, talked about times when prayer felt like words uttered to the ceiling. But they persisted in prayer anyway. Nouwen made this decision to begin a discipline where he would spend the first hour of every morning for a year in prayer. And he said for months, he would get disturbed by all these little thoughts that came into his head, and he thought, what am I doing? I'm wasting my time. But somewhere along the way, he began to realize that sitting in prayer, in intentional relationship with God, radically changed his life. He learned humility and dependence. And after all that persistent prayer that seemed at first glance to not have borne the fruit he was hoping for, actually created this small, gentle voice that took up residence in his soul. Really, that's how the passage ends. How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Not give whatever you want, give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. That is the ultimate good gift we are looking for. Whatever we are asking for, the true desire of our hearts, the true empty place that needs filling in us is our longing for the Holy Spirit. We want to be filled with the Holy Spirit who will inspire us to live lives where we point beyond ourselves to the God who loves us beyond our ability to imagine. We want to ask for what we need. And we want to recognize that ultimately, all our needs come to rest in God. Before I close this morning, I want to tell you a story of answered prayer in our world, because we just don't hear enough of those. It happened in Wichita, Kansas. There was a group of folks that were going to plan a Black Lives Matter protest, and they went to the police station wanting to make sure that all the conversation was out there and that everybody knew what was happening. And at the police station, as they began to talk, the police and the group organizers decided, what if we do this together? What if we have a picnic and we eat together and we play together, and we dance together, and we get to know each other, and we talk in a real way. You tell us what you feel. We tell you what we feel. And we become us. That's the start of the kingdom of God coming here, showing up in the world in which we live. Let us pray for God's kingdom come. Let us pray for our daily bread. Let us pray to be forgiven and forgivers. And let us never give in to the temptation to believe that prayer is anything less than a chance to be in relationship with our God. In Jesus' name, amen.